And good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to all of you to our program today. I'm Father Robert Young. It's a joy to be with you live this morning from Alexandria, Louisiana. I'm alone in the studio today, so there will be no break in the program today. We'll be going all straight through for the 55 minutes of the program. Let's begin with a prayer as we celebrate this memorial of St. John Marie Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, and certainly we're so grateful for the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ that it's bestowed and shared with priests throughout the world. And through this great patron of priests today, St. John Marie Vianney, humble, a soul who struggled with intellectual things, with theology, and yet became one of God's greatest priests in the history of the church. You know what God can do with a simple and humble man. So let's give thanks today as we pray for all of priests, and in a special way, ask you to pray with me today for all of our priest advisors at Radio Maria in the United States and throughout the world. They serve such a wonderful and essential part of our ministry here in bringing the Word of God to so many hungry souls out there. So let's keep them all in our hearts and prayers today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are your children, and we are nothing without you. And as Jesus said, we can do nothing without him. So we thank you that you have come to us in the person of your Son, Jesus. You have made known to us your love in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have revealed to us the very nature of your divinity in all three persons, which is your divine will. Not only does it reign in you and in heaven, but your prayer, the prayer of Jesus, and your desire is that it reign in us here on earth. That was what Jesus asked for, Father. So we want to open our intellects today, our memories and our wills, to receive that gift of knowledge, of love, and the possession of your divine will reigning in heaven and coming now to reign in us as the heaven on earth in our souls. Come, divine will, reign in us this day. Remove from us whatever standing in the way, all of our pride, all of our laziness, all of our lack of charity, our unforgiveness, all whatever resentments or lack of good disposition and goodwill that we desire to have in our lives. Come, divine will, wash them away, blow them away by the power of the Holy Spirit, and give us that will that will only be the source of love in our lives, that will make everything we do an act of love, an act of glory and thanksgiving to you, the Most Holy Trinity, for the good of all souls. And of course, our Blessed Mother, always, we can't do anything without you. And this first Saturday in the month of August, a month that has been asked by our Father in heaven to be dedicated to him in a special way, that this first Sunday in the month of August be a feast day of the Holy Father. Let's pray that that will happen too. And through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, may the Father be known, loved, and adored, worshipped, and glorified throughout the earth in all times and places. Mary, help us to know the will of the Father in our lives, how to love it, to know it, and to possess it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. St. John Marie Vianney, patron of parish priests, pray for us. And Blessed Eugenia Ravasio, the little daughter who received the mystical revelations from God our Father, pray for us. And servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, pray for us. St. Hannibal de Francia, the first editor, publisher of the Divine Will, the first apostle of this great gift on earth, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of our family here at Radio Maria, for joining us today in this program. It is the greatest delight of my life, and I assure you that is not an exaggeration. It is the truth that God has, since he's given me this gift, there's nothing that gives me greater joy than to share it with you. And so I give thanks again to God for making known to us who Louisa is, and through Louisa, making known to us the gift that is original grace from the moment of creation, which is the will of God reigning in the will of man and woman. St. John Marie Vianney, this great saint we commemorate today, one of my favorite quotes of his. I have many, but this one I especially love, and I think it's one of the most insightful he ever made. He said that God, when he created man, gave man only one thing that would be completely his, that would belong to him entirely, because he wanted man to be able to have something that he could give back to God freely that was his own. And he says that gift that God gave man, imparted to him at his creation, was his human will. And so that will itself is the freedom to return the gift. It is the freedom to love God back, to requite God's own infinite love, not simply by the power of our human will, but by allowing God's divine will to be one with that human will, so that through that unity of the two, which fuse together as they are in heaven, but beginning that fusion here on earth, that we would then be able to return that will, not just as our own, but with God's own will itself, which is the source of life and love, even in the Holy Trinity. So that we can say, God, I love you with your own will. Father, I love you with the love of your Son, Jesus, and the love of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love you with the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I love you with the love of the Father and the Son. See, and I love you, Holy Trinity, with the perfect eternal love of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, where the divine will reigns perfectly, as in the only creature in which that would ever happen. Because of the Immaculate Conception, Mary never sinned, and therefore her love for God and her living in God's will was perfect, complete, and full of grace, without stain, as we say, without any interference, without any way in which the human will would enter into it and corrupt it or stain it in any way. And so we have this gift, brothers and sisters. First of all, we must thank God for the gift of our human will. There's no other creature on earth that has one, that has a will at all, only we human beings. That means we represent the rest of creation in our capacity to love God back and to love him with his own love. That is what he asks of us today. So again, St. John Marie Vianney says, God gave you only one thing with which you can love him, and that is, and that you can give back to him and give him something worthy of himself, and that is God's own divine will, where he infused it into our human will so that we could give him our human will, but not to give it back to him alone, but to give it back to him with the power of his own divinity reigning in that will, so that it then is worthy of God and can satisfy the longing of God's heart, which is to be loved perfectly by something outside of himself. You know, granted, within the Holy Trinity, there's no question of that perfect love, that perfect circle of love being always eternal, infinite, and complete. But from his creatures, since the fall of Adam and Eve, that love has not been perfect and complete. It was before the fall. Now he's asking us, through the coming redemption of Jesus, through the era of sanctification of the Holy Spirit, to now complete that circle again and to return all the love and thanksgiving, glory to God, for which he created us. What does the old catechism say? Why were you created? To love God above all things for all eternity. And of course, to save our own souls and the souls of others, but first of all, to glorify God. That is the purpose of our existence. And we glorify God most by loving him with his own love. So with that introduction, thanking God again for all of our priests today. And I want to, actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to mention one priest in particular who has been a tremendous blessing to us here at Radio Maria, both by his presence his programs, and his generosity. And that is Father August Thompson, and he is celebrating this year 55 years a priest. And Father Thompson, I hope you're listening. If not, someone will tell you that we congratulate you, we love you, we thank you for all that you've done for Radio Maria over the years since its beginning. And we ask God to bless you with many more years, ad multus annus, of happy and healthy ministry as a priest of Jesus Christ. So with that, let us begin today. Our next passage from Volume 13. Remember, Luisa wrote 36 volumes. We're one-third of the way through at this point. Luisa's started to learn, only in Volume 11, intensely the divine science of God's will. She's been trained before that in virtue as a victim soul. Now she's being trained in this new gift that God wants us to receive. So we have completed Volume 12. We are now continuing with Volume 13. This is from the 9th of August, 1921. Let's remember also that this is the month of the Feast of the Divine Will, which is the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother on August 15th. And as we get closer to that feast, we will have some beautiful passages to tell us why it's the Feast of the Divine Will. So I'll leave you hanging in suspense for that. But just to know, this is a month that is especially dedicated to Our Lady and to her Assumption, the great feast of the first and only creature to enter heaven, living perfectly on earth, as she does in heaven, in the unity of will for which God created us. And so Our Blessed Mother's the only creature, and her body, because it was always, and her soul, perfectly fused in the divine will, could never suffer corruption. And therefore God took her straight to heaven. More about that to come in the future. Title of our passage today from the 9th of August is Activity of the Soul in the Immensity of the Divine Will. Its acts reach all creatures and the Creator Himself. Continuing in my usual state, that is, as a victim soul, I suddenly found myself outside of myself and in the midst of a vast sea. We might ask, well, what happens to Luisa at night when her soul leaves her body? Well, here's an example. God teaches her, usually Jesus Himself, when Luisa's soul is taken from her body and her body becomes petrified in a paralyzed state and very heavy, they could not lift her. Her soul is taken somewhere else to learn these lessons. So here, the image that, or the vision she has in her soul, is this of a vast sea. And she is taken into the middle of this sea, an image that is often used for the reign of God's will. And she says, I saw a machine, the motor was running, water was gushing from the machine everywhere. So, of course, this is in 1921, would most likely be a steamboat. The steam engine, of course, had been invented, and so was being used in the world. There, these waves of water reaching up even into heaven were splashing upon all the saints and angels. So here is a boat that's running with a motor in this vast sea, and water was gushing from the machine everywhere. Well, this certainly happens in the way that a motor runs. It will take water into itself and it will spew it out. She says, these waves then of water that were coming from the machine, and of course it was the water from this great sea, were splashing even into heaven over the angels and saints. Reaching even the throne of the Eternal One, they flowed violently about His feet and then once again descended into the depths of the sea. So they went all the way up to God and then came back into the sea, completing their round, their circle. I was amazed by what I saw, and I said to myself, what is that machine? And a light that came from the same sea said to me. See, it's often a light that informs Luisa, that teaches her, because God is light and pure light, and of course knowledge and truth is light. And the voice said, the sea is my will. The machine is the soul that lives in my will, in my volition. The motor is the human will that works in the divine will. See, these the little parables that Jesus uses to teach us in the Gospels, he uses also in the Book of Heaven. Obviously, in the time of Jesus, there were no steamboats or steam engines, any boats with a motor that would spew up water that way. And so it's an image that he can use now in Louisa's time, in our time. And so Louisa says, "I was amazed by what I saw." And she asks what the machine is. So Jesus says, "The sea is his will." And after the sun, it's probably the most common image, metaphor in the Book of Heaven for the divine will. And the machine is the soul. The motor is the human will that's working in that sea. So our little motor is running all the time. Our human will, even in sleep, by the way, never stops, because the human will is still somehow engaged with our memory and intellect. You can't separate them completely. That's why St. Augustine said your three faculties of the soul are a perfect example and proof of the Holy Trinity, because our faculties can't be separated. So our intellect and memory can be functioning even in sleep. Granted, our wills are not consciously free there, but our will is always moving. It's always active in our soul. And so he says the machine is our will that's plowing through the sea of God's will. And he says, "Since my will is the life of the blessed, as it also is for the machine, it is no surprise that my will, which gushes forth from this machine, should enter heaven, into heaven, and glow with light and glory, streaming over everyone all the way to my throne, and then descend again into the sea of my will upon earth for the good of wayfarers," for the good of all those on earth. "My will is everywhere. Acts done in my will flow everywhere, even into heaven." So he's saying, you know, your little acts in the divine will, that little churning of your motor, all of those little human acts you do, from the smallest to the greatest, are churning up, are taking from the sea of God's will. And what our acts do is absorb into themselves the eternal, infinite, and universal power of God's will when they're united with it, and the effects go all the way up to heaven and then shower back down upon earth to help everyone here. This is the power of our little motor, of our human will, and our little acts in the divine will. Because if that motor stops, you know, when you die, your will is still alive because it's in your soul, and your soul doesn't die. But your acts in the divine will in your body are going to stop, because your body will now lie in death. Your soul will continue to do acts in the divine will, but without a body, you see. And at that point, after death, your soul and the will that is in your soul will either continue its process of purification and unification with God's will through purgatory, or it will go straight to heaven and be united perfectly with the reign of God's will as it is in heaven. See, so one of the two is going to happen. You will still have your human will, but it will now be either in that very intense purification process in purgatory, or it will be in full union. And Jesus does promise that when you've done this on earth, as he has called you to, and you've been cooperative and correspondent with it, then he says you will go straight to heaven. You won't need to be purified anymore. Your will already be one with God. And he says, "I cannot purify my own will because it's already pure." But if we do need that process to continue, our human will, even after death, is still alive, very much alive, and very much will continue that process of purgation and purification and unification. It must be united, continue to be united with God's will before it can get into heaven. See, you cannot get to heaven. Heaven is the unity of the human will and the divine will, the reigning of God's will perfectly in everything there, angels and saints, and whatever rest of creation will be there. It's God's will that reigns. Therefore, you cannot get there. You will not get there. You will not enter those gates of heaven if your soul, your will, has not been perfectly united with God's. That is what our journey is about on earth, brothers and sisters. It's the only thing that matters. Seek first that kingdom of God's will reigning in you and in your life, in your home, in your workplace, wherever you are in the world, and all the rest will be given. Seek first that kingdom because it's the only thing that matters. And it is not a place, it is your relationship of union with God. So God has given us this human will. He's given us this capacity of our body to do acts, physical acts, material acts in the will of God if we want to. Again, it's the human will inside of those acts, as the soul of those acts, that makes it possible, that makes it happen together with God's will. But it takes our freedom to do it. You know, I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks for us Christians, and I see this especially today for some reason in modern times, is that we want to have this polarity in our lives. We want to separate the spiritual, the sacred from the profane, the spiritual from the material, the human from the divine. You see, we want to go to Mass on Sunday, and as St. John Maria Vianney says, we want to come to God and pray a little while and say, okay, thank you, I'm done with that, now I can get on with my life. You know, I've satisfied that obligation, and now I can live my life as I want, you see, according to my own will. No, that's not worship. That's not prayer. That's not religion. That's just an exercise, you know. He wants us to be one with Him in every, and you can't be one if you're only one sometimes. See, it's like a spousal relationship. How can you be truly one with your spouse if you're only, you know, thinking of being married to them sometimes, and the rest of the time you're thinking about somebody else or something else or some other relationships? Spousal means one. You see, you become one flesh, one body. And that's what marriage is. It's that unity of will with the other person on a human level. But that is such a beautiful, perfect image for, or perhaps not perfect because it's human, but it is perhaps one of the best images and metaphors we have on earth for our relationship with God. That's why St. Paul uses it so profoundly in his understanding of our relationship with Christ, or the body of Christ, and our relationship with that body is that of a man and a woman in marriage. You see, as a man loves his wife and a wife loves her husband, Christ has so loved us, and we must love him and be united with him in that spiritual but also that very deeply human and even material relationship, because it involves all of us. So it's coming, what I find in this way of life, brothers and sisters, and I hope it will grab you in the same way as it has me, is that I finally found in my life the keystone, if you will, for building, you know, the kind of temple that I believe God had destined for my life from all eternity. And that was to become with Him a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. To see that everything I did in my life and every littlest act, thought, word, and deed, was given to me as a gift for only one reason, so that I could love God with that act. And that the only way I could do that perfectly was if God was acting with me in that act and doing with me what I do and loving Himself through me in that act, through my cooperation, through the willing, loving, surrender gift of myself and my will. See, which is my very being, my very essence is in my will. So what I found is this key for bringing together the spiritual and the material, the human and the divine, the life of heaven and the life on earth. That's why it's called the Book of Heaven, because it's fulfilling the Lord's prayer that His will come to earth and reign here as His kingdom, as it reigns there among the blessed and the angels and saints in heaven. But He's saying, I give you this body to do it with. I give you a soul, faculties of your soul to do it with, to learn, first of all, to have the knowledge in your intellect. I gave you a memory so you wouldn't lose that knowledge. It would stay with you. And the Holy Spirit would continue to teach you, not just at the moment you read it or hear it, as you're hearing me today or reading with me or reading on your own, but that your memory would be the storehouse, the vessel in which that knowledge would remain. And you could always turn to it so that you could continue growing in that knowledge even for all eternity. See, that memory is an eternal memory with God. See, that's why the word memory, so rich and so beautiful in our Catholic tradition. What the sacraments do is they memorialize. We take the memory and make it real. That's going to happen for all eternity. All of your acts on earth are going to live forever in eternity in heaven. Every smallest gesture you did in the will of God will never be lost. Not only will it not be lost, but it will never be limited in the glory and love that it can give to God. It will always grow. That is the nature of God's love. Never remains the same. Even among the Holy Trinity, that love of God, even though God cannot change, His love by the process of circulating in those three divine persons, and by His extending that love outside of Himself, in a sense, that love is always growing and extending outward. That will happen with every single act of your life here on earth when you get to heaven. It will all happen and begin at the moment, Jesus tells Louisa, of our last breath, of our death. It begins here in a sense because it's already there in eternity, but its effects, the beauty, the glory, the fruits of it will begin when we die, and we will be able to see them when we die, as Louisa did with that avenue of suns, that path of millions of suns that lined her way to heaven, which she realized without even anybody telling her. She says, "Ah, now I see it. These are all of the acts I did here on earth in the will of God, and they are going to be my way to heaven. They're going to be my path, my company, my retinue as a queen of God's will going up to heaven." So this is what He wants for us. But all of these little acts on earth are so important. And see, that's what the incarnation of Jesus is about. God chose to enter those little acts of humanity when He chose to become human in the person, in Jesus Christ, in the second person of the Holy Trinity, taking on flesh, our humanity, our little acts, and uniting them perfectly with the will of His Father, He made it possible for us now to do the same. That was the gift bestowed on His mother before He even became flesh in her womb from the moment of her conception. We don't have it that way. We're going to learn it. And it's perhaps a long process, but it is a beautiful journey. The most beautiful possible on earth, most beautiful school you can ever belong to and attend, is the school of the will of God, learning to put your acts from smallest to the greatest in the will of our Heavenly Father, making them perfect, eternal, and universal for the good of everyone on earth and for the glory of God forever in heaven. My will is everywhere. Acts done in my will flow everywhere, even up into heaven, glorifying, adding accidental glory to the angels and saints, and even, of course, to God Himself, because we see it reaches all the way to God's throne and upon earth. So this glory now even descends upon humanity to help us to save, to redeem creatures together with the works of Jesus and Mary. They flow into the past because my will has always existed. They flow to the present because it's still there, alive and active. They flow into the future because it will exist forever. How beautiful are the acts done in my will. Since my will contains ever new joys, these acts, therefore, are the new joys of the blessed in heaven. Even the angels benefit from these acts. Just imagine every breath, every heartbeat, every step you take, every blink of your eye is glorifying the angels and saints in heaven, and the Most Holy Trinity is bringing the good of the acts of God back down to earth after they glorify God. God's blessing souls even more through these acts, because they're His acts that are done with us, making it possible for souls to receive grace, to know Him, to love Him, and to be with Him forever. Since my will contains ever new joys, it brings even joy to those in heaven. They are supplements for the acts of the saints that have not been done in my volition. They are new graces for all creatures. Now that penultimate sentence there. They are the supplements for the acts of the saints that were not done in my volition. Think of this as an amazing thought now. Everything that St. John Marie Vianney did, one of the greatest saints in the history of the church, a man who loved God intensely, his most beautiful prayer about, God, I want to love you perfectly for everybody, for every creature, for all time. He loved God so much. St. John Marie Vianney, even though he was so blessed by God, did not have, at least we know he did not have, the fullness of this divine science, because it wasn't revealed until Louisa. Certainly, as he says beautifully about the gift of the human will, he had a lot of understanding of how precious and how good and pure and holy God's will is and His greatest gift to us. But did he have the divine science as it was given to Louisa? No. So what we can do by honoring him today is saying, Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of St. John Marie Vianney, for all of the many ways he served the church as a confessor, as a teacher, as a preacher, as a priest celebrating all of the sacraments, all of his mortification, his sacrifices, his charity, his love for the poor, his love especially for sinners, for those who were dying. He had this great affection for sinners. He would do anything to bring a sinner back to God, so loving and gentle in his confessional counseling. Lord, I want to take all of those acts of His from the moment of His conception until His death and place those in Your divine will for Him to increase the glory that You will give Him in heaven, accidental glory. His essential glory can never change because that was gained by His life and acts on earth. But we can add to His accidental glory by what we do on earth with the will of God operating in us. Why? Because God has that capacity to do it. If you think of it, it's one reason we honor the saints. We increase their accidental glory by honoring them, celebrating Mass in their honor, praying to them, recounting the glories of their lives as examples to us and imitating them. Perhaps the best way we can give them glory is to imitate their virtues. So with St. John Marie Vianney, you do that today for him. Do it for all the saints every day. I try to remember to do that as I celebrate every saint in the church. And we can do it for others besides the saints. You can do it for your parents who have died, your siblings who have died, your ancestors, because there's no limit to who it will affect when you do it in the will of God. And yet we do it through perhaps one person, but at the same time, it opens up through that one person like a gate or a door into heaven to embrace everybody in heaven and to earth to embrace everybody on earth. That's the way God works. That's the way God saves and creates and redeems, is everything is for everyone. Does everybody receive it? No, that's why he needs us to receive it for them and to say, Lord, for those who don't receive your gifts and your graces, I receive it for them. I multiply it for them, and then I return to you the love, glory, thanksgiving you should be receiving from all souls of all time that you have not received. Even from the acts of St. John Marie Vianney that may not have been perfect. He was a human being. He wasn't perfect. He was a great holy man by the time he died, and he grew there. He grew into that holiness, like we all do. You know, certainly God gives special graces, undoubtedly, but all of us have to cooperate with that grace. God doesn't force it on us. So he grew, so he wasn't always perfect. Lord, I want to offer you the perfect version of his life, as I want to offer the perfect version of everybody's life, for every saint in heaven, every soul in purgatory, and every soul that will ever be on earth, now and to come. See, that's our prayer. That's our life in the divine will. St. John Marie Vianney himself writes in our Office of Readings today, the Office of the Church, the Liturgy of the Hours. He says, he's talking about our union with God. He said, in this intimate union, God and the soul are fused together like two bits of wax that no one can ever pull apart. It's a beautiful image of the soul united with God's will. Our human will and God's will now are fused like two bits of wax. You can never separate them. How do you know where one stops and the other begins? If they're fused when they're melted and soft, you can't. There's no way to separate them. He said, this union of God with a tiny creature is a lovely thing. It is a happiness beyond all understanding. And that brings us to our next passage. 13th of August, 4 days later, 1921, the divine will always carries in itself every joy and happiness. Children of the divine will are the acts, the blessed fruit of the divine volition, children of Jesus and of the soul that lives in the divine will. Okay, so he's saying that we who live in the divine will are the, just as our human nature has acts, the acts of the divine nature, of the divine will, are us. Why? Because we are the only ways that can happen on earth, because we're the only ones with a will. So we are now the children. Our acts and our humanity in the divine will is a child, if you will, an act of the divine will acting on earth. Louisa says, I was feeling very distressed. My always beloved Jesus, moving within me, said to me, have courage, my daughter. I don't want you to be upset, because whoever lives in my will is touched in his entire being by the joy of heaven, the happiness of the blessed, and the peace of the saints. My will contains the substance of all joys, the source of all happiness. Whoever lives in my volition, even when he's experiencing sorrow, feels himself full of both sorrow and joy, both tears and happiness, both bitterness and sweetness. Happiness can never be separated from my will. A beautiful passage, isn't it? And one that reflects the words of many, many saints who say that, you know, no matter what sorrow, sadness I might feel in my life, or even physical suffering, there is always still, when that is united to God, there is always a certain peace and happiness and joy that remain in the soul. And when we're experiencing the greatest elation, joy, and peace, there may also still be a bit of sorrow and bitterness that is present with it as well. Why? Because that is the life of Jesus. Jesus always carried in himself all of the effects of humanity, which brought him both sorrow and joy. Those same effects of our human acts and nature bring us both sorrow and joy. And therefore, we carry both in us, in our being, for the good of ourselves and the good of all souls and for the glory of God. But at the heart of it, and what the only part that will last forever, the essential part, and feeling and emotion that is there, is joy and happiness, because that's the one that will last forever. Sorrow is an illusion because it will not last. It's only here for a while, and therefore it will disappear. It will be gone. The only sorrow that will remain, unfortunately, but by the will of God, is the sorrow of those who will never see God and spend their lives without him. But for us who are saved and are on the way to salvation, our only joy will be God and being with God. And that joy begins here on earth, even in the midst of the greatest sorrow. That's what Louisa is learning. It's what we all have to learn. And so, you know, so many of you I know, as I have talked with you and in visiting groups throughout the country and the world, I hear the same thing so often. You know, Father, I'm experiencing so much sadness and so many trials in my life and my family and my personal health or whatever it may be. And yet, because of the divine will, I'm always at peace and I feel a certain joy, always in it and with it. I was just expressing that recently to someone else, that no matter what we experience in life, you know, there's always going to be sorrow because of sin, but it's also going to be touched by joy, always. And the reverse is true as well. You must realize that to the degree you think in my will, that you speak work and love in my will, you will give birth to as many children in my volition as the thoughts you think, the words you speak, the works and acts of love that you radiate. You see, progenitors. We're all able to generate life of others in the divine will. That's part of what the will of God does. It generates life. It creates life. It generates new children to live in the will of God. And he's saying, when you are doing this with me, when you think, speak, love, and act in my will, and with my will doing it in you, you are generating with me this life of new souls, of other souls, to come and live in my will. And these children are multiplied endlessly in my volition, endlessly. You see, not only are they new children, but their acts, each one of their acts is a new child. You see, it's like it multiplies ad infinitum. They pass through heaven and the entire earth, bringing a new joy to heaven, a new glory and happiness, and to the earth, new grace. New grace, brothers and sisters, that you are winning for souls by every breath, heartbeat you do in the will of God, let alone all of the other conscious things you do. Passing through all hearts, they carry my sighs, my groans, my supplications of their mother, who wants them to be saved and who wants to give them her life. See, on this first Saturday, Mary wants to be one with us in saving her children. She wants the divine will that reigned in her to reign in us, her children, to make it possible for other children to come into it, to be saved, to come into her heart, to find their salvation through her love and in the heart of her Son. These children, the work of my volition, must resemble the mother who gave them birth and must maintain her own habits. He's using here, of course, the image of the divine will as a mother, as the womb of God, if you will, in which these children are conceived and then born. So these children, the work of my volition, must resemble the divine volition, the mother who gave them birth, and must maintain her own habits, which means they must do what I do. They must love as I love. They must affect everyone as my will does, if they are to be acknowledged as being my true children. If they are found to be sad, they will be cast out from heaven. Sadness cannot enter heaven. Get rid of it now. Overcome it by the happiness of living in God's will. And that means a conscious, deliberate effort and choice of our human will every moment, not to give in to our human will, which has feelings and desires and attitudes as their fruit. They will be told that in our sojourn there is no place for sadness. That is, staying in heaven, sojourning in heaven, you cannot do it if you are sad. That must be purified, must be gotten rid of, either here on earth or in purgatory. They would not be able to persuade other creatures who, seeing them sad, would wonder whether they are the true and legitimate sons of my volition. You see, how if we're trying to teach the divine will and we're doing so as it's a terrible cross and agony and it's so sad and depressing, who's going to want it? First of all, yes, there's the cross, but there's a cross in everything. But ultimately, it's the most joyful life there is. It's the most glorious and happy and peaceful life there is. For whoever is sad does not have the grace of insinuating himself into others. We don't want to hear a sad person, of conquering and dominating them. You don't win people over by being sad. Sad person is not capable of heroism, nor of giving himself for the good of everyone. You see. It's very hard to be heroic when you're sad. Why? Because you're discouraged, you're depressed, you don't want to do anything. To be heroic, to be courageous, we have to have faith and hope that God will be with us in what we need to do and carry it out in us and not be discouraged. Often these children end in miscarriage and die during birth without entering into the light of the divine volition. It's a rather sad note that we have today, but it is true, you see, that if we don't want to be aborted in our life in the divine will, and unfortunately, I have encountered people who started off beautifully learning, you know, rejoicing in the gift of the divine will, and then turned away from it because they simply couldn't overcome the trials that they were facing in their lives. They couldn't trust that the divine will had a purpose and a plan for it all, and they either despaired or just gave up. They just gave up trying. Or their hearts were hardened and simply not disposed to learn and to receive the gift. So we don't want that to be us. Certainly not. It doesn't mean that this is the only way to be saved. Yes, there you can be saved without knowing Louisa Picaretta, the divine will. That's the teaching of the church. You don't need private revelation, which this is, to be saved. But if you want to live the fullness of what that salvation means, of what it means to be saved, if you want the fullness of that joy and peace of heaven, even beginning here on earth, then yes, this is where you'll find it. This is where that life begins, in these magnificent, marvelous teachings that God has given us of His holy will. The divine will carries in itself every joy and happiness of heaven, of the blessed in heaven, and of God Himself, and those who are living in God's will on earth. So it is this joy that God wants for you and for me, brothers and sisters. You know, I think joy is a lot like love. It's a choice. It's a decision. We have to make it every day. It doesn't mean that we can't feel sadness like Louisa did. It doesn't mean we can't experience discouragement a bit at times or some depression. But we never experience only that. See, that's the crucial point. Balance it with this, always the memory that God has given me His divine will to unite with it. Put it in the will of God. Jesus was sorrowful. I'm sure our Blessed Mother was too. Imagine, she didn't go through the agony and crucifixion of her son without sorrow in his death. But yet that sorrow was united to the will of God. And when we unite ours to hers and to that of Jesus and offer it to the Father as theirs, you know, with ours. Ours is there too. We can't deny what we experience. Yes, and we can share that with those closest to us. We need to, especially someone we trust, a friend, a spiritual friend, or spiritual director, a confessor, even our spouses. You know, share the deepest hurts and pains of your life. It helps to have them shared, to be relieved. But most of all, most important, don't forget to share them with the will of God that will make them perfectly acceptable and meaningful and purposeful and fruitful in the kingdom of God. Bring them to Jesus and to His Mother. Unite everything you do, brothers and sisters, with everything that Jesus and Mary have lived through, all of their sorrows and joys. They had joys too. You know, just imagine the joy of that day of resurrection.
when Jesus appeared to his Blessed Mother. What a wonderful thing to meditate on tomorrow. Imagine the joy of Mary arriving into heaven at her Assumption in the glory of the saints and you know, Jesus coming to welcome her and to crown her, to seat her on her throne at his right hand. Imagine the Heavenly Father embracing his daughter, welcoming her into the joys of the saints. I mean, there's no end to these joys. We need to meditate on those things, and especially on the Sabbath, our day of rest, our day of worship and of glorifying God. And tomorrow, I pray, brothers and sisters, that in a special way, you will think, at least in your heart, to celebrate this feast, even though it's not proclaimed by the church, celebrate it in your heart. Feast day of God our Father. He is the source of everything that is, even in God himself. That is our theological understanding in the church, that even the Son and the Spirit are generated by the Father, and therefore he is. That's why Jesus says the will of the Father, because the will of the Father is the source of everything in the Trinity. But the Son and the Spirit, when they are generated, receive it perfectly and completely from the Father from all eternity. Therefore, that same will that is in the Father is in the Son and the Spirit. It is only one will by which the life of the Holy Trinity is eternally generated and continues forever. It is that same will of the Father, Son, and Spirit that he imparted as gift of grace, original grace, to the first children on earth, Adam and Eve. That gift was lost. It is now restored by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and taught to us through the little daughter of the divine will, Louisa Picaretta. That's what God wants you to know today, for me to help you learn, for me to continue learning. We never stop. I don't think we'll stop in heaven. And that is the gift we bring to you through Radio Maria, this Christian voice in your home, the gift of God's will reigning on earth in your soul now and forever in heaven. We ask the intercession of St. John Marie Vianney today to bless each and every one of you, to bless especially our clergy who need that blessing so much, perhaps more than ever, in our world today and in our church. Bless especially our priest advisors at Radio Maria, all of our pastors and bishops, and for ask your blessing and prayers for myself as National Priest Director upon all of our priests here in the United States, especially our priest editors, Father John Fletcher, Father Walter Tonolotto, Father Dan Hohen. So may Almighty God bless you, brothers and sisters, who share with us the baptismal priesthood of Jesus. May God, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother on this first Saturday, and through the intercession of St. John Marie Vianney, keep you, bless you, let his face shine upon you, be gracious and merciful to you, and may you come to know here on earth the life of the blessed in heaven. God bless you now, keep you always in that heaven of his will in your soul, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.